From Austin, Texas to Essex, England, it is the Slipstream Podcast. And it's not the Strip Sleeve Podcast.
It's not that.
That is not what it is.
That's on our Patreon. That's something completely different.
You do the Patreon episodes, you get the Strip Sleeve Podcast. And it's basically the same thing except sleeveless. We just don't do sleeves on our shirts. We show you our beautiful farmer's tan.
We strip the sleeves very, very sexy.
Yeah, like that's very like seductively, and like we'll talk about like lap times, and then we'll like, and I won't even strip mine off. I'll just like roll them up slowly, and then just like stare at the camera, you know, like and that.
As we go through the field, we start like on our wrist talking about Lewis, and then we get to our shoulders talking about like Mazepin. As we slowly move back up the field, you know.
Yeah, you know what? I think we just described the worst podcast idea in the history of all mankind. I think there's been a lot of horrible ideas, but that one, I think, takes the cake. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Andrew Dalton. With me once again, Mr. James Lingfield, Lingy12 from the Discords. And I think I'm just going to reference your Discord name every single week.
Why not?
Because here's the deal with Discord. You need the little code, the number code. So it's not like you can just get spammed. You know, somebody needs the actual number code so they can't find you. They don't know where you are. And that's you on the Discords. We got a little bit of a chat to have about the French Grand Prix. And there wasn't a single yellow flag. There wasn't a single safety car. There wasn't a single retirement in this entire race. And it was still a race worth talking about, which is fantastic. I think the FIA regs are working. They're working. The cost caps are working. We're bringing the level playing field about. And we've got a team that has dominated for the last 7 years, showing signs of weaknesses, showing cracks in the facade, in the beautiful silver facade, the beautiful silver pristine German facade of Mercedes is starting to crack a little bit. We're starting to see cracks. We're starting to see shades of doubt in Toto, in the eyes of Toto. There's starting to be rains in Africa for Toto, is all I'm saying.
How long have you been working on that?
I just thought about that. And that is, I don't think in however long this podcast exists, I don't think I'll ever top that dad joke. So
that's gotta be
just
the title.
Maximum dad joke just like right now. I think that just happened.
No, that's so, quality, man. Quality.
Yeah, man. What were your initial thoughts about this whole thing? Give me the Lingy summary in a few sentences.
Well, I think I joked last week that because the cars are so close, we could have an exciting race in a car park. And Paul Ricard is about as close as we'll get to a car park. And I was sort of, you know, I don't think the race was close because of the track. I think we just have two such close teams and such close drivers. I sort of think that the Red Bull is definitely the better car. I think the Red Bull looks the better car in most scenarios. But
yeah,
they're
quicker in a straight line now.
Oh, by my like 10.
They're quicker in a straight line, and that's never happened. As long as I've watched, that's just never any of the races I've watched, at least in the hybrid era, that hasn't happened. And now we're seeing, and that's actually one of the things I wanted to ask you about. Does Red Bull just have the better car now? And look, if they do, it sounds like you're saying yes.
Well, if they're not, I mean, they weren't good in Monaco, which is a downforce track. Yeah. And if they're not good in a straight line, where are they good? You know?
Hey, I told you at the beginning of the season, championship's going to Red Bull. I called it. And look, I don't want to call it too early. It is Mercedes, after all. They probably have a contract with the Illuminati. I think they get their money from the Illuminati. Well,
they actually just
get their money from like the Illuminati and like crazy like World Bank organizations and stuff like that. And so who knows? I mean, they might sacrifice a goat somewhere in an orchard with a bunch of billionaires and like summon a demon to like get them to like figure out what the hell's going on.
What do you think happened to like Stoffel van Dorn and like Sergei Sorokin? That's what happens to all the Mercedes junior drivers.
Yeah.
They get sort of, give it like 2 years and Ocon will like disappear. And really he's been sacrificed and that's how they get their luck. And soon it'll be Bottas too, which again, I think we could start on what another terrible, awful weekend for Valtteri Bottas.
I do want to cover, though. I mean, if you're talking about Mercedes drivers disappearing, I mean, is that what happened to Nico Rosberg? Was he sacrificed in a billionaire orchard ceremony somewhere? And like ever since then, it's just been like the robot Nico Rosberg, you know, because essentially all you have to do to like make a Nico Rosberg is like just get like a mannequin and like cover it in sunblock and then put like a blonde wig on it.
And, then, and that's all he is. Like, yeah, that's animated Nico Rosberg.
Yeah, and that's Nico Rosberg pretty much. You're just like, are you a person or are you just a mannequin covered in sunblock? Like, what's going on? So who knows? I mean, that might be their strategy. It's just like they'll disappear Valtteri later this year in a Bohemian orchard somewhere. And and then that's what will happen. That's how that'll go.
I think so, probably. I can't. But man, seriously, it's almost sad watching Bottas. You know, it is. I mean, he was. I've never seen him that angry on the radio before. Is he just being like abandoned by his team? I must say, actually, I do think his complaints about it being a two-stop race, I don't think are that valid, because Checo caught him on a one-stop. Lewis could have won, I think, if Valtteri would have held Verstappen up longer. And that also begs the question: do you think that Bottas didn't hold up Max as much as he could have?
Do you think he could? No, I think he was. I mean, his tires were done. That was the crazy thing about this race, is they were completely caught off by their strategy. It was almost a reverse of Spain, where Mercedes is counting on the one stop. Their computer models are telling them that they need to run the one stop and make it work. All of a sudden, you've got Red Bull pulling the trigger on lap 18, right between Bottas and Hamilton, and then Max just juicing it on the in laps and out laps. I think it was something like 0.9 seconds on the in lap, 1.8 extra seconds on the out lap, and then like 0.4 seconds with the pit lane advantage, which adds up to about the time that you're going to have that he had to make up. Hamilton had clear, like 3 seconds of clear air, and Max made that up on his in laps and out laps, which like, where did that come from? So I don't know. To answer your question, I don't think Bottas could have done anything. His tires were done. He told his team the tires were done. And you kind of have to feel for him, man. I don't think his team's abandoning him at all. I think it's a product of a driver that's probably just come to the end of his tenure at this team, and a team that's also being caught up on its back foot this year with these regulations, and also a team that's looking to 2022 already. You know that that's what they're thinking of. And so I think in that situation, I mean, if you're Valtteri, what do you do? I mean, all you can really do is voice your concerns and stick it out for the rest of the year. Because, I mean, the guy's not an idiot. You know, I think he knows what's going on. And I think it's a frustrating situation for him. I don't know if he expected to be there forever. And I think if you expect to be at an F1 team for forever, you're kind of naive. So I'm sure he doesn't. But I don't think it's an abandonment thing. I don't think they're that cold, although they're pretty cutthroat. I just think you're still a guy that's like up there in the top four battling for the championship at the end of the day. I mean, he's not exactly battling for it. Like, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of over for him at this point. You wouldn't say that he has any sort of like real run at the title, but I mean, it's like the Ocean's 11 thing. Danny Ocean's like, well, it sure as shit ain't sad. You know, he's still up there. So it's not like the saddest thing. I mean, you still are the number two driver for Mercedes, but for him, relatively in his world, I think it's a bit of a frustrating place to be.
I think he might be getting to the point. I mean, not so much if you don't look at the season in isolation, you know, I mean, Checo sort of has done his served his time in like the midfield, and I think he's just glad to be in a number two seat. But I think when Bottas came into Mercedes, he just seen Nico Rosberg push Lewis and really push Lewis. And I think he's now thinking what could have been over the last, what, four seasons?
Yeah. Are you talking about Valtteri? I think he's been there since 2017. So
this is his fifth season?
17, 18, 19, 20. This is the fifth season, yeah.
Yeah. And he's never.
Math. We know math. We could do math here.
Come to the Slip Train podcast for math. Yeah. For math.
For specifically. Hey, you need math. You need math. Lingy 12 and Andrew Dahl. Okay, we're just basically just math whizzes over here. You know.
It always gets me. So a bit of a side point. How Americans call like math. I call it maths. Yeah. Britain's call it like plural, and you guys like math. Because the thing is, it's mathematics. Yeah. It's like the and that's plural.
Yeah.
And like a singular math. I don't that gets
me. You're not wrong. I mean, essentially everything you do as an English speaker in the country that invented the language is right. I mean, you're right with when it comes to that. I mean,
we are.
You're not wrong. Basically what we do as Americans is take everything that the British gave us and then drastically maim it until it's unrecognizable.
Yeah.
So math is one of those words where it's still recognizable, so we didn't kill it that much. But, you know, like we just like to do that. With words, your soldiers from the revolutionary era, we really fucked those guys up. So, you know, things like that. Like
Wow. Okay. You guys take the one win. Win. Come on, guy. Andrew, that's not funny, man. My great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad died.
How hack is that? Okay.
Fair.
How hack is that? Just do it. Oh, wait. Hold on. Yeah, is it like revolutionary? It'd have to be like great. That's at least five greats, right?
Yeah,
revolutionary
something like
times,
that.
Something like that.
A lot of my ancestors are Irish, so I hardly have a great relationship with the English either.
Probably weren't. Yeah, none of your ancestors probably were even. We screw up words, and then we export our fast food to your
That's
country.
True.
You said you just had KFC.
Well, yeah, I mean, literally just now, it's the old Colonel. I went for
What did you get?
I don't know if we have like the same meals. It's called like the Colonel box. So it's like 3-piece original chicken, popcorn chicken, crisps, and a drink. And I bet you the portions are infinitely smaller than whatever there are in America.
Over there, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, over here, we just are like, here's a feed bucket, and then we take the bucket, and then we just, like, strap it. It comes with straps. You can just strap it around your face, and then we just have the feed bucket, and then we just tilt our head back, and, like, you gotta, like, relax the jaw. That's the thing, is you gotta, like, relax the jaw, unclench your jaw, and then relax your throat, and just let it kind of all slide in, you know?
As much as you're joking, the most American thing I've ever seen, you know, like those like soda hats, like hats with like the two things on the side that you can drink out of, to make hands-free like Coke drinking experience, that is the most American thing I've ever seen in my life. Just to passively intake Coke like you're on an IV, it's just so...
Oh, man. I hear that and I just think of acid reflux. I can't do sodas anymore, man. I just can't do them. They're so tasty that I can't do them because I will just end up like I drink one Coca-Cola and I just and then like a week later I'm just mainlining 18 packs a day, you know. So like, I got to stay away from it. Just sodas and beer. Just I have to drink LaCroix as like a methadone. To like fizzy drinks. Here I got the raspberry cran.
What
my
is
studio
that?
Light's kind of jacking it up. It's LaCroix. It's like basically it's like soda water, club soda.
Okay,
but it has the essence of cran. So raspberry cranberry, an essence. It's like the ghost of a raspberry soda. It's like if a raspberry soda. Like an actual raspberry, real sugar carbonated soda, like died, and then the ghost of that soda farted into this water, and then that would be you know LaCroix, but it's actually delicious. Yeah,
it sounds good. It sounds good.
It's refreshing. LaCroix, sponsor the Slipstream podcast. Okay,
we need a cool sponsor
Let's start. We do need cool sponsors. Let's get like who you know LaCroix. KFC, I would take KFC as a sponsor. KFC Indonesia is the dam's sponsor, right? The coolest car on the grid, the F2 grid, like the turquoise blue. Are they still around this season? They still doing that 2021 dams?
I think so because as well, it's Sean Galau. I don't know if he's still in F2. He was terrible. But
I don't even know. Yeah.
His dad is the owner of, I think, KFC Indonesia. Whoa. I think. Okay. Yeah, so that's okay. You wonder why he's still in F2, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the racing in general, formula racing in general is really, it's really interesting. I got into it because it's a very, you got to be a maniac to do it. And that's like compelling to me. There's like good storylines. But also you learn really quickly, that it's really just a bunch of rich assholes. And then like they put their sons in these race cars, which is the funniest thing. They're like, all right, son, well, you have to live to inherit my multi-billion dollar fortune and my entire, estate. But also we're going to throw you into this car that goes like 200 miles an hour every week. And so like, good luck, you know? So it's like, so they're just like survive, but also just, yeah. I guess.
When there's a sport that creates divas, I can't think of any more than Formula One. I mean, I can't even think of too many drivers on the grid I'd want to go for a beer with.
Yeah, yeah, probably not. It'd probably be a little strange, you know? Like, I would rather just them be there already and like I was already having a beer. I'd be like, oh, hello, Carlos Sainz, how are you? And then he'd be like, what do you want to talk about? And I'd be like, I don't even know, man. He'd probably be one of the coolest ones. If I had to pick one, obviously Ricardo, dude. Obviously Ricardo, you know.
Is it bad? Ricardo kind of annoys me. I can't get behind.
It's a little bit. Yeah.
The Ricardo, I almost feel like it's he gets away with whenever he is like a bit nasty because it's Ricardo. I find the same with like, I'd say Lewis Hamilton is one of the most disliked F1 drivers. And I think that's partly because he wins a lot. I also don't think he's the most charismatic guy in the world.
Right.
But he gets stick for being like, oh, cry baby, like, oh, my tires are gone. But like Verstappen is just as worse. Verstappen isn't likable, I think, either.
I don't think Verstappen's like likable or dislikable at all. I think he's very much like down the middle. I think a lot of them have gotten like, to your original point, first of all, it is a little weird that you don't like Danny Ricciardo. Cause like that guy's like, he's like the Michelangelo Ninja Turtle of the F1 grid. Like it's impossible not to like him. So the fact that you don't like him, I mean, you know who else doesn't like him is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the Al-Qaeda terrorist in Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, you got me.
So you got me. Like, and then like the rest of his terrorist friends in Guantanamo Bay, they all have an anti-Daniel Ricciardo society that they built. So I'm just talking about the company that you're keeping at this point with your preferences. Look, I'm not going to say anything beyond that. I'm just saying that's who doesn't like him.
I mean, so they're my boys. You know, I'd go for a beer with one of those guys. They'd be a laugh. They got some stories to tell.
Yeah, lot of stories about the downfall of the entire Western Hemisphere, you know, things like that. Yeah. You know,
tune in to the Slipstream podcast, guys, for terrorist sympathization and Formula One news.
Tune in next week from the Slipstream podcast live from Guantanamo prison. So
we'll be debating the steering Grand Prix and the benefits of the IRA. Tune in, guys.
Yeah, whoever watches just like tunes in next week and we're both just in a prison cell. It's like, well, we probably shouldn't have brought up terrorists on that. Just like.
We're getting electrocuted and we're like, yeah, great weekend for Ferrari, right? You know.
Jack Bauer's just putting like battery clamps around our nipples, just like, tell me who you know. Like, settle down, Jack Bauer. We just want to talk about race cars. All right. What's going on? Look, sign Checo is all I'm saying. Sign Sergio Perez for another year. All of what we're talking about. And the terrorists and all these things. Just the point being is sign Sergio Perez is what I want to say. That's really the point is that we need to take away from this is that we don't want to go to Guantanamo Bay and also sign Sergio Perez for another year. Because he is dependable. He is doing exactly what you want as a Red Bull second driver. I feel like Red Bull is essentially just like a woman that's been divorced like 5 times because she never found the man that she wanted, but like secretly it was her fault for being so indecisive, but she finally found the husband, you know, that she's always wanted. And she's like, oh, this is everything I've always wanted. But I, you know, like He's just killing it. There was a scene, there was a overtake where he just let Verstappen go past. I think Verstappen was on his last stint with the mediums, which is something else we need to get to in a second, which is like he went medium, hard, medium with those tires. No softs at all. I'm looking at the breakdown of the tire, the pit stops for the entire grid. There wasn't a single soft tire that went on for any of these drivers. And not even Bottas on the last few laps for P4 to take fastest lap. And he even had a window. Like he had a window where he could have. But anyway, what I was saying is there was a scene which in the last stint with Verstappen passing Sergio Perez on the back straight. It was just a perfect illustration of their teamwork right now, where they are as a team. And Verstappen passed him up, and then Sergio radioed over like, let's get him. And you're just like, oh, that's cool, man. It's cool to see those two guys working like that, especially with him being so new to the team. And he's just like fitting like a glove. And just if they don't sign him for another year, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why they wouldn't. I'm going to go ahead and call that right now. They're definitely going to sign him for at least another year. And 2023, we'll see. But I think that's definitely who they want in that second seat for next year as well. Can't hear you.
Sorry about that.
Were you
sorry,
muted?
My bad. I muted myself.
There we go.
I was typing away. Sorry, Checo one stopped, I'm pretty sure. I don't think I think they left him out.
They left him out.
But he is the absolute perfect number two driver in that he's happy helping the team. He's very different stylistically to Max. He's very happy to, well, Max is incredibly aggressive and great at doing these overtakes and these aggressive moves. Checo is so good at hanging back, waiting for the right time, pinching the sort of alternate strategy. I know even it was a one stop, but he went out so much longer than the rest. There are, I'd say, better number two drivers. Like personally, I think might be a bit unpopular. I think like Sainz is like a better number two driver than Perez. But if you're purely talking of who's better for the team, I think Red Bull absolutely smashed it with Perez. I think he's done exactly what I was expected. I can't see him not getting that second seat. I don't see what stops him.
I don't either. I think it's the only thing that makes sense. I don't know if they have any other options at this point. And, he's definitely going to be, if they get a constructor's title this year, he's definitely going to be the reason they do that. Because Verstappen can't do that on his own. We've seen that with the last two seasons, that he definitely cannot do that on his own. So, Red Bull, if you don't do it, what you doing? I just want to say that. I just want to make that declaration. We gotta get him signed. And just gonna call it right now. In June. I guess it's already June. I was gonna say it's only whatever, it's June. So like what's going on? I guess that's how time works. But let's talk about it. Hard tires, medium tires, not a single soft tire going on. And we're seeing this a lot this season where these teams are, of course, using these soft tires for, quali. They're running quali sims and, racing sims and things like that during practice sessions. It gets to the race. More often than not, the medium is usually the race tire and the hard is usually the race tire. We're not seeing the soft being used or gone to particularly often unless there's some sort of safety car situation. What's going on with that? What do you think?
Well, I think it's a massive shame. I know I mentioned it to you in the week, but sort of the soft tire is meant to be your full-on go, be aggressive tire. Like if you compare it, I know obviously it's only a game, but if you compare it to the F1 game, on those tracks where strategy can be sort of split, the one stop is normally medium hard and the two stop is like soft, medium, soft. And if you bolt on a pair of softs for sort of the next five laps, you are going to be rapid. And I think it's such a shame we don't see that. Like, I'd love to see this weekend take, like, the Astons, who started on the hards. Mm-hmm. They do, though, that stretch on the hards for ages and ages and ages. They box to the soft, and then for, like, 7-8 laps, they're absolutely flying, doing overtake after overtake. But just, like, the medium to hard strategy, which seems like the best for almost every track, I think encourages conservative racing. And I think it's a shame that that's a thing. And it also takes away strategy deviation. Like this race, I know Valtteri was pretty sure it was a two-stop and Max won with a two-stop. But pretty much every car, bar Leclerc, I think, who just did it to try something different, did a one-stop and it worked out perfectly fine. I think it could have been a one or a two-stop. But I think if you'd had the softs available, it would have made that two-stop more exciting, but also made the one-stop more impressive to pull off. And then I think it would have been great to see, like, if you leave Checo out on the one, Checo and Rossi on the one-stop and Max and Lewis on the two-stop with the softs where that delta is so impressive. It's a bit of a rambly point, but I really hope they fix that, because I think F1 is better the more aggressive, the stronger the aggressive tyres are, rather than the sort of slower conservative don't stop again tires, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a tire thing with this year specifically. I feel like last year, at least, you saw a lot of the soft tires getting stretched out a lot more. You saw them going for stints sometimes 20 or so laps, even 30 if they were conservative with them, where they were able to use that soft compound. Now, you know, we're not even halfway through the season. We might see some changes to that. But I think somewhere in there, Pirelli changed up the rubber composition. And I think that's having some sort of effect where teams just aren't wanting to go with whatever the softest compound is for that weekend. They would rather just stick to the two hardest, which is pretty strange. But at least it's kind of all the teams. Like, at least all the teams are doing it to where, you know, no one's gaining an outright advantage in any specific way. So it is a strange thing. And you pointed this out to me, I think either last night or the night before. And I was like, oh, this is weird. It's because I was about to watch the race because I was on a bit of a delay and I couldn't watch it right away. So I was watching it and then you're like, what's up with no soft tires? I'm like, no way. Surely somebody it's crazy to see. I guess what it was the rain the night before with Paul Ricard. Second de Paul Ricard. How was that? Was that good?
That was wow. It was like Monsieur Dalton was in the room.
Oh
wow.
Man, dude, I want to learn French so bad. That's the one language like I would rather learn than maybe Italian or French.
Oh, Italian's cool.
Because you get to it's just the way you use your consonants. It's just so I don't know.
That was a bit more Guy Ritchie, I think, than French.
Yeah, that was a little bit.
I get your point. Yeah.
I just like saying Circuit de Paul Ricard. But yeah, it's I guess it was just a less grippier track. The rain kind of washed some of that rubber away, and so it wasn't as galvanized as it usually is. So yeah, it was strange.
I'd even be willing to bet because Bottas didn't pit fast as that. Do you know why he did that? I didn't realize it at the time.
They thought that Sergio had a penalty.
Yes, that's right? Yeah.
So they thought that he just needed to stay within 5 seconds, which why are you assuming that? I want to know.
I haven't seen a replay of that anywhere, and it doesn't seem like much of an event at all.
Why are you assuming that when you're Mercedes? And two, why are Mercedes making so many just crazy assumptions and like miscalculations? On the pit wall, where you're just like, Mercedes doesn't make these mistakes. And why are they doing that this weekend? You know, it just kind of makes you wonder. Makes you wonder. Yeah. They didn't do a goat sacrifice. They're not doing enough goat sacrifices to JP Morgan Chase.
That's how they're going to win it, is it?
I'm
almost now a little bit worried, and maybe I'm overreacting, but obviously the last era of F1 has been encapsulated by Merck dominance, and we've been wanting a challenger for a long time. But I'm a little bit worried now that Red Bull have the faster car, I think the faster the better lineup. That might even be true if George swaps for Valtteri, because I still think Red Bull have a great lineup. Red Bull now have their own in-house engine department. They're pinching Mercedes staff. I am wondering that we are going to go the way of just another period of Red Bull domination, because it wasn't that long ago. Are you excited for that?
Yeah, dude, I'm so excited for that.
Oh, no.
Let's do it, man.
No.
Let's go. I'm so excited. Let's go. I just don't want to see Red Bull on top anymore. Mercedes. I just don't want to. It's been seven years, you know, 6-7 years, whatever. It's just, it's over. Let's do something else. Let's do something else. Let's go, man. Let's change it up.
When's the Haas supremacy coming? When's that?
Basically, okay, so here's what's going to happen is Red Bull is going to win the championship this season, and they're going to, Christian Horner is going to approach Gunther Steiner in the offseason. He's actually going to have Gunther Steiner over for Christmas. And Christian Horner is going to be, he's going to be dressed as Littlefinger, actually, from Game of Thrones. Because essentially Christian Horner is the Game of Thrones Littlefinger of the F1 paddock. And so he's going to have, you know, cause he's wheeling and dealing. He's just making moves, you know, that's what he does. And he's going to have Gunther Steiner over, and he's like, okay, look, here's what we're going to do. All right. We're going to take AlphaTauri, right? And we're going to put them at the bottom, and we're going to bring Haas in as the Red Bull Junior program. So it's going to be Red Bull Haas. And I think that it'll be a way to do it. And Gunther's going to be like, look, you ask, I can't. I'm not even going to try to do a Gunther Steiner impersonation, but that's what's going to happen.
Why is every single British guy you do just like the cast of The Gentleman? Like, it's literally, I know I brought up Guy Ritchie. Every single.
That's all I know. That's all
you,
I know.
You go from like the Queen to like George Russell, they are all Guy Ritchie.
All right, look. I'll do my Queen impersonation. All right, and it won't. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. Here's my Queen impersonation. All right, I'm the Queen now. Okay. Now what you're gonna do is you're gonna take this quib. You're gonna rob this quib. Right. Because we're the Peaky Blinders. Okay. So that was my quid. A very distinct. And then here's my Christian Horner. All right. So we're gonna rob this quib, right? We're gonna take the trolley down to the mash pot. We're gonna rob this quib. And look, there's clearly two different accents.
Clearly, okay? Yeah, clearly, dude.
Yeah. Look, okay. Just give me an English citizenship. That's all I'm talking about. You know.
Yeah, and that's actually the citizenship test. Is do an impression of the Queen.
Yes.
And that's all. Yeah. That's all you have
to
do.
And that's it. And then I'll look at the immigration officer and be like, all right, now what we're gonna do is rob this quib. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to go right back to the horse stables, right? You're going to snickerdoo masharoo, right? And we're going to rob this quib. And then you're going to take that money that we get from robbing this quib. You're going to throw it straight to the pigs, all right? And then they'll be like, hey, guess what? Citizenship granted. And that's
how
that works.
Have your blue passport, and that's how we do it. Yeah, that's it.
If you could get dual citizenship anywhere else, where would you go?
Oh... somewhere European, because I hate not being European anymore, because like we can't travel anywhere. Well, no, but like it's not. So I'm half Irish, and I'm thinking of like applying for an Irish passport. Where I'm about as Irish as like, I'm as Irish as a curry. Like I'm not Irish at all, but technically I'm half Irish. So I'm going to get that, and then I can travel properly like before.
There we go. You're not even going far away. You're just going up. Oh, I'll do Ireland. That's quick. It's a quick little jaunt up to the.
I'll do the whole. What about you?
Man, if I could get dual citizenship,
yeah.
Oh man, I think I would just bite the bullet and get China. You know, just so regardless of where whatever happens, I'll just still live in a world superpower. So you know,
whoever wins World War III, you're sorted.
Yeah, so whoever wins World War III, learns some Mandarin, you know, get an apartment in China, get a like a, but by then it'll be like pods, like you'll have like a pod, and that will be where you live, and I'll just live in a little pod in China, and you know we'll do the podcast from there, and I mean there'll probably be good internet, but actually no, like seriously, I think I would do South Korea, that'd be cool.
At any particular reason or just
They're cool. I don't know. It's just, it's different. It'd be like different. And also economically, they're pretty rad. They make a lot of technology. So I could probably work there for a little bit. So I'm trying to get into tech and stuff like that. And I don't know. It just seems cool. Just seems like every time I see South, we watched during COVID, during quarantine, South Korea was like one of the only countries that still had their shit halfway together when everything hit. So like you couldn't watch regular baseball here, but you could watch South Korean baseball. And it was funny because like all their teams were just named after brands. So it was like the Nokia Chargers versus like the Samsung whatever. And you're just like, so you're literally watching a baseball match between Nokia versus Samsung. And it was like the most bizarre yet oddly wholesome thing. I don't know.
You are literally Adam Sandler from Uncut Gems now watching Korean baseball. If you stick some betting on that, that is Adam Sandler in that film.
Oh yeah, man. Dude, I want to go see some Asian baseball so bad. Yeah.
How did we get onto this? This is what I love about this podcast. Like 10 minutes ago, we were like, what a drive from Sergio Perez. And now we're like, South Korean baseball right now.
Yeah, look, we're just a couple of blokes. We're not billionaires. So like how serious can we talk about the F1 all the time? Sometimes we just got to shoot it. We just got to shoot the bull. All right. Exactly. And I'm not talking about Red Bull. All right. I'm just talking about the good old the bull that you shoot when you're talking. Okay.
That's the one.
So sometimes, look, if you're watching the Slipstream podcast, you got to know that sometimes we're gonna meander down the path, and we're gonna take another path, and we're gonna say, look at the flowers down at this path. This is a beautiful path. Let's go here. And that's just what we do on the show. And if you don't like it, hey, take a hike. You know?
Hell yeah.
You don't like it? Take a hike. You know?
Just turn the podcast off
before you take a hike.
Yeah. No one's forced to listen. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Hey, take a hike. Dude, my dream is for someone to complain about something that I do online, and then I could look at them and just be like, hey, take a hike. You know?
Oh, yeah. Do like an epic like Twitter clap back.
Yeah.
Get like 1,000 retweets. But like, retweets. I'll be nice.
Yeah. I'll be nice about it. Be like, before you take a hike, just stretch your leg. Just stretch your calves, you know, just so you don't get shin splints. So it'll be good. Look, that was a French Grand Prix. It's fine. We don't need to talk much more about it, I guess. McLaren looking good. P5, P6. Like to see it. That was about their pace, right? McLaren right up there. P5, P6. You would expect to see it. Aston Martin falling back. Although Lance Stroll did have a really good drive from like P19 to P10.
Yeah.
Which was worth mentioning. I like that kid, man. I like Lance. He's strong. He's a good driver. And he's consistent. Real quick, before we get off the topic completely, Ferrari.
Oh,
like I said, good and quali, choking back on the race. I think we'll see this for the rest of the year. I think that's about the pace that we expect, but I think it's about par for the course. Good quali, a little meh during the race, and especially with these standard circuits that we're going to see for the rest of the year.
Well, there's,
I don't know, I mean, if we should expect much more.
I mean, there's having a bad race and there's losing 6 and 9 positions. I mean, was. I think you can draw, I'm not saying they're as good because I think Ferrari are clearly ahead, but very interesting parallels between the Aston Martin and the Ferrari, where the Aston Martin doesn't look, I think you said it looked clunky. It doesn't look very pointy, but it seems to be very gentle on its tyres, where it can go long in the first stint and then come back. And that's how they had success in Baku. They've had success in other ways. But Ferrari, I mean, they've got clearly like a really like freaking sweet qualifying car, but you'd imagine that means they're really high on downforce, they're really high on oversteer, and it's absolutely killing them in the race, and surely that can't be sustainable.
This is going to be a weird year for these teams that are in undergoing a lot of transitions, because it's the last year of these cars that are basically like yachts, you know, and they're just really, they're just long. And I think a lot of these teams, especially with a lot of their R&D now, are going to a shorter but like oddly heavier car for some reason. Like they're going to be heavier, which I don't like at all, but like, they're going to be heavier is what I found out. Like we were talking about that last week. Like, are they going to be lighter or heavier? I found out they're going to be lighter, but they're going to be about, I guess about 1.5, 2 feet shorter than these cars now, which is not, I think that's cool. I think it's nice. And we saw that in 2013, and between 2013 and 2014, where the overall length, I think kind of went down, or at least it seemed like it did, with the nose going for those duck bills and then kind of going downward. But I digress. So yeah, this is going to be a thing that I think we'll see the rest of the season. It's like a bunch of teams that are in that awkward phase with hair where they're just like, don't look at my hair. It's in this awkward phase, you know, and they think it doesn't look very good. And it's just a bunch of cars that are like in an awkward haircut phase where they're just like, they can't, it's like, I don't know, man, this is the last year. We're just making it work. We're just winging it, you know? So yeah. No pun intended. So we'll see, man, it's just weird to see Leclerc down P16. It's just like, what are you doing, man? You're usually, he finished behind George Russell. Like what? You know, yeah. he finished in between both Alfa Romeos. I don't know if he was having, admittedly, I didn't watch him too much. I don't know how much of trouble he was having, but I mean, I don't know if he had car troubles. I don't know if he damaged something at some point. I think everybody was struggling with the front graining on those tires.
From what I heard, it was basically they were going to fall out the points. They thought they'd try another stop just to see what happened, but just the graining was terrible. I mean, I'm looking at this chart here, and the only driver that had a slower last lap than Sainz was Mazepin. You know, the Ferraris were so slow, and I don't know what happened there.
I mean, Leclerc pitted lap like 38, 39, and then it's a 53 lap race. And so the graining on those tires are so bad that he couldn't go to a soft tire for like 15 laps, that's usually cake for these drivers. It should make a soft tire last. And then, so he couldn't do that with these. So I think the front graining on these tires was just really bad this week. And they were just struggling with it all around. Let's go French Grand Prix. That's great. Moving on. We got Styria next weekend. We got Austria after that same track. I think they're going to switch up the compound ranges.
Yeah.
Between races. So add a bit of variability between that. That'll be fun. We'll see how that goes. I don't know. We'll see. But let's get to some Midwest F1 news before we wrap it up. I know you've got to go somewhere. What do you got tonight? You got a rager tonight? What's going on?
I got Plush in Oxford tonight, which is sort of... Okay. I've signed up to go through it. It is. I've signed up to go through it. I sort of wish I hadn't. But I feel like I feel like in 3 beers' time, I'll feel very differently. But, you know...
Okay, oh, yeah, well. You will. Yeah. And that, y'all got the good beer over there too.
That's true.
Y'all got the good beer. You know, it's just all pints. It's all pints. It's just all pints over there.
Proper pints of lager. Pints. Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all got it. Y'all are fine. You'll be fine. Midwest F1. This week was in Australia. James, I got to tell you, from my race, I binned it. And DNF'd fourth lap, which I always do in Australia. I don't know why, but turn 11, 12. I can't handle it, dude. I turn into Hollywood from Top Gun and I just lose my edge, man. And Maverick has to come alongside and take me into the carrier because I just forget what I'm doing in Australia. And I'm telling you, dude, it's these PlayStation pads, man. All right, look, I'm gonna vent for a little bit. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
This is why I can't wait for my wheel setup. Because when you're steering on this, okay. How are you supposed to maintain grip in fast corner situations, you know? Because with a wheel, at least with the wheel, you're holding the force feedback. And if you could hold the wheel, you know, maybe you can hold a line. But with this, you're steering on a Y-axis, man. And I don't like it. Look, I can't wait. I just can't wait. Fanatec needs to make some more CSL bundles because I can't find them anywhere. It's really pissing me off is all I'm saying. You know, I DNF'd. I was, you know, it was devastating. What can I say? It was devastating. I was devastated. It was not something I wanted to see. But we still had some good results this week. We're going to start with D4 in our 1-2-3 for Division 4 in Australia, the Albert Park Circuit. And can't wait to see those updates to this track this year because it's going to be in November this year. But Albert Park, D4, Hammer 383RS. Coming in with a number one, number two, Tim Lee, and number three, Valentine 94, who I thought was down in D3. I guess he's down in D4 now. Okay. And then we got a fastest lap. Shout out to fastest lap, Valentine 94, 1 minute 24 and 0.09 seconds. D3, Houdini 13, followed by Unholy Red Eye and Young DJ DC for the 1-2-3 in Division 3. Fastest lap, there was no fastest lap, apparently, which is really weird. I don't know. It just said no fastest lap, in which I don't know how that happens. So
maybe the guy got it in DNF'd. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know how that works. So that is weird. Somebody has to explain that to me. D2, Will Anz, Soy Loco, and ZGS23 for the podium there in Australia. Fastest lap, Forza Juve, 1 minute 22.3. And this is interesting. D1, the fastest lap was actually Mystic Joker, 1 minute 24. So the D2 fastest lap was 2 seconds faster than D1, which, you know, being in D2, all I could say is obviously we're faster than D1.
Of course. That's the only
logical. Obviously, D2 should just be D1, and then we'll just make D1 just go down to D2, and we'll just switch. And that's, look, I'm not making the rules. I'm just reading the data, okay? I'm just a man with the data, and that's all I'm doing. But our 1-2-3 in D1, Matt Rosie, Impossible Bacon, and LFR Mayomer, 1-2-3. And, you know, Drivers Championships heating up this season. Constructors Championships heating up this season. I believe we raised about $900 for the Jed Foundation this week.
Nice one.
I think that's a foundation that goes towards mental health resources for teens and young adults. And that's a cause I'm passionate about myself, just overall mental health awareness. I think we need to do more of it. We just need to do more of that shit. So me be more aware of the mental healths. And that is Midwest F1 news. James, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up because I know you got places to be. And we've got another race coming up this weekend. And so we will see you back next weekend after Austria, after the Styrian Grand Prix. Any last comments, questions, concerns?
Well, the main thing I'm praying for, I'm doing my rain dance, because I think every day, every session is about 75% chance of rain.
Yes, dude.
This weekend.
Yes.
So,
let's go.
Gonna make
let's
a good
go.
Race.
Full wets all weekend. I want to see no slicks being used. That's what I want to see. Let's do it. James, thank you as always for joining. And I will see you next week.
Pleasure as always, my man.
Don't drink and drive. Okay.
No comment.
Tonight. Okay.
Well, no comment.
Everyone, this has been the Slipstream Podcast, and until we see you next week, keep pushing. We'll